Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about how and why spirit dissolves the personal, making the fear of the divine an important indicator in recognition of genuine inspiration. Listen as we explain why divine peace threatens the false sense of self, and when it doesn't, beware. In this show, we will discuss the differences between Jesus and the Christ, which is an impersonal principle. Welcome to The Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and demonstrate divine inspiration. So the title of today's show is Pitfalls of Humanizing the Christ. What exactly do we mean by that?
Yeah, in this show, I think what we want to start to do is understand the difference between Jesus and the Christ. Jesus is the manifestation of the Christ, but the Christ is an eternal principle. It's the saving aspect of truth. The Christ is what they call the Messiah. It's what makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. And when we humanize the Christ, we make the cardinal mistake of putting it into form. Spiritual understanding is a process which unfolds in three phases, as explained in the hero's journey, the separation, the journey, the return. We can include Kriya Yoga, which is the graduation from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness, or even the Christian myth, the crucifixion of the body, the resurrection of the Son, and the reunion with the Father. No matter how you look at this, life and matter must be given up for life and spirit. Understand and know what this looks like when it is successfully accomplished. There is tangible evidence. Mary Baker Eddy wrote in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 168, 32, 169, 1-2, and I'll read it. By chemicalization, I mean the process which mortal mind and body undergo in the change of belief from a material to a spiritual basis, end of quote, the Word made flesh. How we think is what we become. Understanding that as long as we are thinking with the mortal mind, the mind we are using to get us through this lifetime, we cannot bring forth the divine image. A big part of this process we're talking about is your path of knowledge. Developing the mental landscape, the conceptual framework that will support the divine principle. And when you analyze it, without that, we really don't have the scaffolding that will enable us to qualify to walk reason through the open door of revelation.
So when you say we have to build this mental landscape, what does that look like when we're doing that?
What Mary Baker Eddy said, educating thought up to spiritual apprehension, or what I call the Martha Wilcox lesson, faithful and orderly with the objects of sense, working with the mortal mind to the extent that you understand the limitations of it. You can't bring forth the divine image with the mortal mind. But if you don't educate your thought up to this level of consciousness where you can walk reason through the open door of revelation, then we stay stuck in this mental loop. The mental material world of energy is producing a veil preventing us from perceiving the divine creation. There's a lot of things that have to be in place in order for us to know the truth that makes us free from the belief we are finite mortal beings.
So it seems like you were just describing exactly what Jesus was doing when he was performing his miracles, that he had already built that mental landscape.
Yeah, and I think to help us move from the human to the divine, the shift of thought to identity, from a mental material to spiritual, let's look at the words of Jesus in John 15, 1 through 12. Would you read that, please?
Sure. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. End of the verse.
Now, before we turn to Herb Fitch, and he'll help us unbox that quite well, humanizing the Christ keeps thought in the mental material basis and thwarts spiritual progress. So let's separate the Christ from Jesus, because until we do, we're in the mind that can't bring forth the divine image. And to understand the idea of abiding in the Christ, we'll look at what Gilbert Carpenter wrote in Mary Baker Eddy, Her Spiritual Footsteps, chapter 20, and I'll play it.
Today, Mrs. Eddy's demand upon her faithful followers is that they always go, as she did, to divine wisdom for guidance and consent in matters pertaining to the furthering of this great cause. She realized that unless students were weaned from her demonstration to make their own, they would cease to progress. The master recognized this point so strongly that he said, in John 8, verse 21, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. In other words, if your effort goes no further than to seek to have me take you into the kingdom of heaven on my demonstration, instead of embodying the Christ for yourselves and gaining heaven through your own demonstration, then your lack of understanding of the true spiritual method will be the sin of ignorance, which will mean the death of your spiritual progress. Both the master and Mrs. Eddy taught that the time must come with every student when the help of another spiritually minded pilgrim must turn into self-help, where the Christ must be lost as something to follow after and gained as something to be embodied. It is a profitless thing to continue to seek the help of another in Christian Science if it is continued beyond the point where wisdom would indicate that one should rely on his own efforts. Every gardener knows that the very glass frame which is necessary to give his plants their start and protection becomes a definite obstruction to the development of the plants beyond a certain stage of growth. They must be transplanted into the open. It might be said that there's a point at which we follow the Christ in another, a point where we catch up with him, and finally a point where we embody him. Jesus called that embodying of the Christ eating his flesh and drinking his blood. It is as if a man, weak with hunger, were being drawn in a cart by an ox. Finally, he kills the ox and eats his flesh. Then he finds he has gained the strength to pull the cart himself. From this, we can describe the crucifixion as symbolic of the point where Christ is taken away as something that can be followed, only to reappear and come to life again as something to be embodied by man. It dies as something apart from man and comes to life as his own true selfhood. This might be taken as a warning to students of today that if they feel suddenly bereft, as if they no longer received the help they expected from those to whom they've been accustomed to turn, that indicates that the time has come for them to embody the Christ for themselves, which means to recognize within themselves the ever-enlarging spiritual spark. When Mrs. Eddy acted for the cause, it was divine principle that dominated her thought, rather than human opinion. This, and this alone, was what she wanted her students to follow. "Follow me only as I follow Christ," was her most profound counsel.
So this reminds me of when Jesus was explaining to his disciples that he had to go away so that the Comforter would come to them. So I think that means they have to realize their own salvation to be able to be the one with God, the Lord. Do you think that's being on the right track?
Well, the idea when Jesus says, "Unless I go away, the Comforter cannot come," what he's really telling us is we must give up this personal sense of self. The human concept of the divine has got to go. When the seed is put into the ground, it is destroyed before it starts to develop into a sprout. The same is true with this human concept. It must be buried in the silence and stillness of the divine omnipresence. Then we experience this progression, this birth of Christ in consciousness as something to be embodied by the individual. It dies as something apart from the individual and comes to life as the own true selfhood. And what we start to understand is we're not making something happen. What we're really doing is just coming out of the hypnotic state we're in. We believe we're finite mortal beings. We don't change the divine creation. We have absolutely no effect on the divine creation. God is running a perfect universe. What we come out of is the mental material counterfeit, the false sense of existence, which is being created because we are not conscious of the divine creation. And what you just read from John 15 is Jesus's words in how to do this. And when you start to unbox them, this is what we talk about, building a mental landscape that will support the divine idea. We're talking about a process here, and the way Gilbert Carpenter laid that out, there is a point where we are following the Christ in someone else, then a point where we catch up with him, then eventually we embody it. The graduation, we go from belief to faith to understanding, where we graduate from our identity being bound up in matter and form. And then eventually it moves to this astral image, a mental image of ourselves, which is concept and belief. And then we move into spiritual identity. We're out of duality and we're now in unity. We're in oneness with the divine creative principle. This is what they mean by embodying the Christ.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves.
Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, you had said earlier, the Christ is a saving aspect of truth. Wondering if maybe we can dig a little deeper with that to help us understand the difference between Jesus the man and Jesus the Christ.
Well, a good way, I think, to start to do this is to start to understand the difference between yourself as a physical being with a form, and differentiating between the form and the eternal life that is behind the form. And then the interface between that, which is found in thought. Thought is externalized, and we then think thought is matter. Underlying matter is this whole realm of energy. Underlying the realm of energy is spirit, the invisible, intangible omnipresence. Now, as you build this mental landscape and you start to understand what we call dividing and conquering before you unite and stand, so you pull the pieces apart. There's matter and form. There's belief and concept, and then there's soul and spirit. And as Jesus says in John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He's giving us this landscape. He's trying to tell you he is the Christ, the interface, what will make the divine creation, the perfection of being, eternal life, the changeless state of being, comprehensive to the branch, the human in this form state of awareness. Now, unless we are connected to the vine, then we don't bear any fruit. The whole key here is we need the interface to make the connection to the omnipresent eternal life. The Christ is an eternal principle. It's everywhere, always. But we must be conscious of it in order to activate it in our experience. And that's why the message of the Christ was heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead. Spirit is a demonstrable principle. It testifies with deeds, not words. So the miracle was really the evidence of the presence of the divine creation. It wasn't fixing the mental material concepts, but it was revealing the truth. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And for us to walk in the kingdom of heaven, we must be conscious of the divine creation, and in order for us to be conscious of the divine creation, we need this birth of Christ in consciousness. And this is all part of the progression we're talking about. We literally become born again of spirit. We rebirth the mind-body complex in a very different source of sustenance. This would be considered eating from the tree of life as opposed to eating from the tree of knowledge or the tree of good and evil. There is evidence that accompanies this in the Bible when it says the word made flesh. When Mary Baker Eddy talks about chemicalization, the miracle, where all of a sudden somebody who appears to be crippled, blind, is now appearing to be healthy and has sight. Why? The change doesn't happen on a spiritual level. But how would we know if we were conscious of the divine creation? How would I know that I am in the vine if I'm not bearing the fruit of the divine principle?
So it sounds like a major pitfall would be for us to accept Jesus as our Savior when we really need to be thinking about accepting or realizing we have the Christ within us, and we have to understand that's really what's going to get us further in our spiritual development to be one.
Yeah. If you want to take this to an experiential level and you want to go beyond belief, then you have to interpret the scripture more in alignment with the way Mary Baker Eddy and her discovery blazed the path for humanity, because that was the message of the Christ, was to demonstrate your inspiration. It's one thing to believe in Jesus and to believe in an eternal life. It's a very different thing to demonstrate the omnipresence of the perfection of being.
Well, I think you've laid the groundwork for our soundbite from Herb Fitch's Realization of Oneness, Class 27A.
And if anybody's interested in the full audio file or the complete program, you can get this from mysticalprinciples.com, and I'll play it.
No, you're not reading the Bible and saying, that's it. You're not studying and saying, that's it. You're not making loud noises about something and saying, that's it. You're learning you must be that invisible Christ. That is the purpose of the fourth verse. Until you accept the Christ identity, you are not abiding in the vine. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now, how do you abide in Christ? You can't memorize it. You have to be it. And because you can do nothing of yourself, if you are not being Christ, the invisible Son of God, then whatever you try to do of yourself is nothing. Every success you call your success is a nothing success, because it lacks the substance of your own being. You're being opened to the infinite nature of your invisible self. There should be a growing awareness that Christ, where you are, is ever present as the invisible self that your eyes cannot see, that your hands cannot touch, but is the life of you, just as what you have called your body is the visible form of you. Now, beside the visible form, you have the invisible life. You are told now to rest not in the form or the consciousness of the form, but to rest in the invisible life, which is Christ, as your life. And so the form, or the outer branch, is resting in the awareness of the invisible Christ, which is the vine, as identity. And through that identity, which is the vine, the Father flows. Infinity pours its divine plan under its divine law, fulfilling itself in and as you. This is the way, and any other way is described as a way which cannot succeed because of yourself. As a human branch, ye can do nothing. In the fifth verse, I am the vine is repeated. The human branch is not connected to God, only the vine is. Ye are the branches. Now that branch that we speak of here is the human sense of life, the human consciousness. At the moment, it's treated as a branch, and you being a separate branch, and another being a separate branch, and a third and a fourth and a fifth, all these separate branches, unaware that there is one invisible vine, are ever afraid and must preserve themselves. They're all depending on their individual action for safety, for supply, for health. As human branches, unaware of the invisible vine to which we are one, we all fear. We don't know where the next dollar will come from. We don't know if tomorrow will bring us a thunderbolt out of the sky or a lightning rod. We know we're in vulnerable bodies. We know there's a time limit on these bodies. We know accidents strike from nowhere without provocation. That's because we live as human branches. You see, the form consciousness is living as a human branch. If you're in a form consciousness, an atom consciousness, you are the world mind expressing as an individual separated person. Living that way, we are subject to karmic law. Living that way, we cannot bear fruit. The fruit that we bear that way is false fruit. It's the fruit of good and evil. If we make a success of our human self, that's not the fruit of the Father. That isn't spiritual fruit. We, in our own lives, must be divine fruit. That's the only way you bear fruit. And the human branch doesn't bear divine fruit. So, the devil mind, the serpent mind, the world mind, the Adam mind, the human branch, must learn that it is cut off. It will be purged. It will be removed. It cannot bear divine fruit. And as long as we continue to be human branches, we cannot bear divine fruit. We are committing suicide. We are living in dying forms. We're being told it in a very specific way. Unless you bear fruit. Now, what kind of fruit does God have? Divine fruit. What kind of fruit must you bear? Divine fruit. And no human being can do it. The call to transform. Be ye transformed out of a human branch by the renewing of the mind into the awareness of the invisible vine of Christ within you. And behold, you will bear divine fruit and you will be lifted higher. Christ acceptance now must be understood. And that is why the Christ itself now will explain to us how we accept Christ, how we are given the faculty which enables us to accept Christ, and how we can be trapped into thinking we're accepting while we're not. Be sure that every necessary teaching, every facet will be uncovered to us once we are willing to accept that there is an invisible Christ, which is my invisible self, and unless I live in it consciously, I am never going to be in union with God. I'll be talking about union with God, but it will never be consummated.
I really liked where he said there should be a growing awareness that Christ, where you are, is ever present as the invisible self, and your eyes cannot see, that your hands cannot touch, but is the life of you, just as what you have called your body is the visible form of you. Now, beside the visible form, you have the invisible life. You are told now to rest not in the form or the consciousness of the form, but rest in the invisible life, which is Christ as your life. This is what was called to pray unceasingly, to keep your mind in constant relation with the divine idea. But one of the biggest barriers to getting the desired outcome, which is to know the truth that makes you free from the belief in matter, is not knowing the divine principle aright. What we call avidya in yoga, we're mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. That's why finite good is one of the biggest barriers to this experience of enlightenment, because you don't have a principle. You do not have conscious awareness of the one. Spirit is the dissolving force of the universe. Spirit is dissolving everything back into itself. And this becomes very threatening to the mortal sense of self. That's one of the reasons why in the Bible it talks about the fear of God. Now, fear is a defense mechanism for the false sense of self. And as long as we are trying to protect this concept of life, it prevents the realization of the true self, which is one, only one, and it can't be divided. And so to bear the fruit Jesus is talking about, we need a principle and a rule. The principle being divine spirit is all. Omnipresent perfection of being is all there is. And the rule is, in order to demonstrate it, we must know ourselves in the way that we are created, which is spirit, in oneness, without opposite.
That completes our show for today. Listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On any of the pages, as you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you can press that will further your understanding. Swami, any final thoughts about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and demonstrate divine inspiration. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to the program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga realization. Namaste.